Welcome back. This is the last half hour of the first 7 to 9 p.m. Rick Hogan After Hours show. I think I like these hours. I don't think it's going to be light all this time. But I've had some great friends on, Billy Lombardo, Jim O'Donnell. I didn't know Chris Green, but he was wonderful. And now two of my best friends. They are not writers. Well, they are writers, but I think of them more as musicians. Bradley Parker Sparrow and his wife, Joni Pilato. Hi there.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Rick Sparrow here.
The only disappointment is you guys can't come in. I don't know when they're going to have guests in the studio because we've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun over the years.
Oh, God, we always do.
Listen, there's something we're going to highlight, not only some of Joni's new CD and Josie Falbo's new CD, but Sparrow, I was terribly taken with some of your writing on, you can go to chicagosound.com and get a variety of information and blog. I was terribly taken. You write here, during these, you wrote this on June 4th, the Sound News 86 update. During these troubled times, we have used music and words as a type of medicine. Could you both talk to me for a second about the meaning of that? Because I think it's absolutely true.
Well, it's like when you look at the strange times we live in, and having lived through 1968 myself, and the 60s, and Vietnam and stuff, it's like a circle came around again, and the time in between was all the music.
Yeah.
And sometimes just acoustic music, not an electric piano, just nothing plugged in, just kind of more like a yoga thing to kind of heal, because it seems that it can become unbearable with things coming around again. But then again, there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Can I read something you wrote here, Sparrow?
Sure.
Would you? This just chilled me. You are, as you write, as a half black and half white man, I have skipped into the social river of life. And then you recall something from 40 years ago. Can I read that bit?
Sure.
Sparrow writes, 40 years ago, I was standing at a bar in Chicago on Lincoln Avenue. The door flew open and two large white men came up to me and said, "Come with us." I said, "Who are you?" The man on the left pulled his tight jacket back and he had a holstered gun. We asked the questions. It was dark and rainy as the plainclothes police put me in the backseat of their police-issue Chevy. We went west on Cortland Avenue and then past the Chicago River, and I said, "Officer, where are we going?" They said, "Shut up, or you will end up over there," pointing to the river, "and no one will know it or why." They pulled up to a white frame house, and a young white woman was on the stairs, her head bent over. The cop said, "Come here and look at this boy. Is it him?" She shifted down the steep stairs and looked at me. "No, that's not him. He was blacker." Silence as we drove away back to the bar on Lincoln. "Get out." I did not go back in the bar. That is such a chilling story, Sparrow. And you know, and I know, and Joni knows that happens, has been happening all through the last four decades. Are you hopeful for change?
Yeah, because, you know, that happened so long ago, I had kind of tried to forget it.
Of course.
Because I felt lucky, and I'm thinking, this sounds kind of familiar with more things happening, and I can't believe they're still happening.
Yeah, yeah. This has affected, this has affected the world. How has it affected you two? You've been cooped up together, and it would be a dream come true for me to be cooped up with the two of you. But you've been cooped up together. You could not go out and play and perform. And this may be this 4 months or 4.5 months, maybe the longest period in which you have not been out and about. What's that been like for you two, Joni?
Well, I don't really feel like it's changed that much for us. Through our lives, we've always worked together with our business, with the studio, with the label, with our music, and it's been nice to just be together. Yeah. Really, things have changed. Little things, like we're together all the time now. Whereas before, we could go to our yoga class or Sparrow could go swimming. And it's funny, Rick, because when we had the curfew,
sure,
Sparrow gets up really, really early in the morning, as you probably may remember from knowing us through the years.
Absolutely.
To go out and get the newspapers, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't go out and get the newspaper.
Oh, no.
He had to wait.
But modest changes. But you've also been devoting, I mean, Southport Records is a phenomenon in that it has been a, not just a labor of love, but a labor of creativity and a labor of durability. You have three new things on the horizon. And I don't know now, you know, we've talked over the years about how crazy the music business is. I don't know when these are released, how they're going to be released. When and how are these three going to be released? One is from Joni herself. One is from the one and only George Freeman, and the other is from Josie Falbo, who I will always refer to as the most reluctant songbird I've ever met. Because she, don't you think she's a great singer? And this is only her, this will be her second CD, right?
This is her second CD. It's entitled "You Must Believe in Spring," and the amazing thing about Josie is this has taken a few years.
Of course.
She's been very patient and very diligent in putting this record together with, as you can see, a very eclectic group of songs that aren't really that, haven't been recorded that often.
Yeah,
which is very interesting. And the strings that Carrie Dedman, as her producer and arranger, 23 strings. I can't even count how many horns, but it's an amazing recording, and we're very, very lucky and fortunate to have this in our Southport catalog.
And George Flynn, too, is coming up, is he not?
George Flynn is amazing, composer, pianist of classical contemporary music, new music. This CD entitled Duo Diorama features two really amazing artists from Chicago, the pianist Winston Choi and his wife, violinist Ming-Wan Zhu, and it's a very challenging piece of music.
It's good to hear Flynn do smaller chamber music.
Yeah, yeah. Because
you can see the essence of a composer in his or her chamber music. And like Brahms had 45 chamber pieces when you look at all of them, and only four symphonies, two piano concertos.
Mm.
So it's really nice. You can kind of like see more freedom, experimentation.
It's kind of more of an essence.
The essence of the composer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you too worried? Before, I want to play certainly some of Josie and some of you too, Joni Pilato, one of my favorite singers for way more than half my life, most of my life. Are you worried about, or do you think about, you know, the once vibrant club scene in this town being altered?
It's overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think about not just the club scene, but, you know, all the people that are out of work and the businesses that are closing their doors, and these clubs, you know, the Green Mill, as we know you were talking about earlier.
Sure. When they're doing, I mean, they're doing concerts kind of on the sidewalk now, and the Green Mill is not a large venue anyway, and I don't know.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
Yes, I know.
You know,
you guys know better than I, the intimacy of small music clubs is priceless.
It is.
We're in for difficult times, but I think everyone's talking about the restaurants, but what about the restaurants with music?
Oh, I know.
What about the bars that don't have food?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we need to look at relief from a government level, a freeze on property taxes, some ideas for expansion.
Yeah.
Longer hours.
Good.
I mean, a nail parlor could be open 24 hours, but a bar can't be open 24 hours.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, all this stuff is going to have to be rethought. And I think at the low end of this, I have heard very, very, very little discussion of clubs and music venues. And I know, you know, Joe Shanahan, who owns you know, Metro and the Smart Bar, is terribly worried about the future. I mean, there will always be music, but it's going to... It's going.
But what about the business?
Yes.
I mean, the music is in. In fact, we have on our schedule book, we're to play New York on 9/11, on Friday, September 11th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, where? Ralph Lampkin, you know, Ralph, our
yeah, well,
friend
sure.
and producer, he books us this place called Pangea in New York in the East Village. This will be our third time there. We're hopeful. We're hopeful that we can still do this gig. They have food, so far they're open and they're, you know, selling food. And
you know, it is as we open now. These I'm talking to Joni Pilato and Bradley Parker Sparrow, her husband, one of the greatest couples in the history of Chicago couples. Go to ChicagoSound.com and you get a ton of information about them. But you know, we are with all the old phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. Everybody eager for this. I literally, we're in the first chapter of this whole of this ongoing story. Don't you guys think we're on the first few pages?
Really.
Of this ongoing story. I'm going to take a little break, and then I'm going to allow you, Joni, to select what we get. And I have the two tunes. Who should we play first? Should we play Joni Pilato? Oh,
you can't put that on me, Rick.
What? Sparrow, what should we play first, Joni or Josie?
Josie.
Okay. When we come back, you will hear, I'll introduce it, but you will hear Josie Falvo, when I first met her and had her on, I know she sings with the Lakeside Singers. I'm going, good Lord, you are a great singer. Why don't you have like a bunch of CDs? And she goes, well, it's really hard for me to do even one. Now, you guys are coming out with their second CD, which is called You Must Believe in Spring. And you'll hear some of Josie Falvo's voice after the short break. And then you'll hear some of Joni Pilato's voice.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks.
Welcome back. I'm not stepping on John Williams' toes. John Williams has his new show coming up at 9 to 11 in the old, what they now call the old Rick Cogan slot. The old Rick Cogan slot, where I used to have to twist people's arms to come in here. I'm on the phone with Bradley Parker Sparrow and Joni Pilato, and we're going to play a bit from... Are these three CDs now available, you guys?
George Flynn's CD is due any day.
Okay.
Josie's CD will be out, I'm assuming, in about a month.
Okay.
And my CD is still a somewhat work in progress.
Okay. Well, this is good because in about a month I'll have you guys back on.
Yeah.
And we'll do this again. This is too much fun. And maybe you'll be able to come to the studio. That I would love to see you too. Josie Falvo's first CD, Taylor Street, came out in... At 2010, at which time I said of her, stunning, astonishing, a revelation. The songs you sent me, you two, are equally so. Here is one of them.
When you're in love and you are wondering if he your search is over and done. Catch a bee, and if he don't sting you, you're in a spell that's just begun. It's a guarantee till the end of time. Your true love. When a bee lies sleeping in the palm of your hand, you're bewitched and deep in love's unlooked after land.
I wish you could play the whole thing. It's about 5 minutes long. But isn't that a voice, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't
wow.
that a voice, Joni Pilato and Bradley Parker Sparrow? And why? Is she too much of a perfectionist? I love Josie. She's a lovely person, too. 10 years
between... I wouldn't say she's a perfectionist, but I do think she takes everything, you know, one step at a time. Like you said, her last CD was out in 2010.
Yeah.
What's the hurry? I mean, she created this beautiful thing, and here it is for us to hear now.
Yeah. It'll be out. You can go to chicagosound.com, and there are a number of other. You will find, how many CDs have you issued now in the long storied history of your operation?
Well, Josie's is 150.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah,
that is something. You guys,
and that's not even counting the LPs. Remember black vinyl?
I do remember that. That's what makes you guys in Southport and Chicago sound just a real Chicago treasure. You know I feel that way, even though I did the worst CD ever. I did a voiceover for one of your...
You've always done so beautifully, and you were reading those poems.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. I'm in your studio thinking, oh my God, I'm like a real performer here. It was an honor, because Sparrow's writing for that Cabrini-Green thing was beyond moving.
Yeah,
before this show ends, before this the new edition of After Hours ends, now we have to hear... Joni, this is another all original composition.
Yes, it's my third CD of all original music, and the title is My Original Plan.
Mm-hmm.
This is an advance. I'm still working on it. So,
well, it sounds good. It sounds good to me, and I think a few minutes of it will sound good to the listeners too.
Thank
so
you.
Here we go.
My original plan was to learn to fly a kite. My original plan was to know what's wrong from right. And then when I discovered more, I walked toward an open door and was invited to take my time and explore. My original plan was to find a lifelong friend, my original plan. Thought that love would never end. As my imagination soared, I couldn't possibly be bored. I'll continue with my goal to find more. My original plan. Na 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 na. Before it's too late,
before
I wanna do everything,
everything.
I wanna go everywhere,
everywhere.
I've never been before it's too late.
Before
I'm gonna turn winter into spring.
And where do I begin?
Before it's too late.
My original plan was
think the same thing? How self-critical are you?
I think I sound so good.
Makes you a great critic. But you're right up there with the best critics. You still have work to do on that song, you say?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not completely final mixed and stuff like that, but
now,
yeah.
After this being your third original CD, is it easier? Does it become easier for you to write?
I don't know. This one was different, but partly because most of the songs I had on index cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go back, and I wrote my original plan years ago, but I never finished it,
huh. You
know. So I guess I had to go back to my original plan. But every album is different, don't you think, Sparrow, when you compose?
Yeah, and every situation is different. Like,
yeah.
You know, for example, on this album, she's working with Fareed Hawk.
Yeah.
More as co-producing and producing with her.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives her ideas that, you know, it's her song, so you have to kind of stand back when you get a critique of your song
for sure.
Playing the song. But then he has really good ideas.
Well, and it's nice to have perspective, too.
Yeah.
But it's also nice, I think, and not being a musician, it's also nice to have the opportunity to collaborate with people you admire. And I think most of the people you work with are of such stature that they don't, I may be wrong about this, and there may be some who were terribly, but they don't seem to be terribly thin-skinned. They seem to be open to new ideas and open to sharing their own ideas, correct?
Completely honest and open. And the interesting thing now is that because of the COVID and a different way of working, I'm not finished with my record.
Yeah.
Josie had the good fortune of being, everything was completed, you know, all her recording was done. But for me, now Fareed will email me and he'll say, oh, I'm going to send you this file. This is an idea of something I've done. I've added this percussion track or I've added this track. Let me know what you think. And I'll write him and I'll say, well, I did this vocal. Do you have any feedback? So it's been a new process and I like it.
Yeah, I think that it makes... It can make each work more deeply detailed and simply richer.
Now, actually, Joni was real lucky that she taped the 12 or 13 songs at the end of last year.
At the end of December, yeah. All the tracks were done.
Oh,
so.
Good. And now you just
adding the icing on the cake, I guess.
Okay. And you know what? Now that you're going to get the Tim Weigel piano down to the studio.
Oh, yeah.
We could do some overdubs down
there. Yes, I would like to see what you two do with Tim's fame. Tim could play the piano pretty well, and his mother was kind of a trained opera singer. But Tim used to... Woolly Bully was his go-to number, and I think sometime, don't forget it, would be the 20th anniversary of Tim's death next year.
That's
so
amazing.
Maybe we could do some kind of tribute with, you know, a number of variations of Woolly Bully in honor of Tim.
We'll get George Freeman to bring his guitar down and play Woolly Bully.
Yeah.
Woolly Bully.
I'm sure. And Tim used to. Tim was one of the great, you know, one of the great cabaret customers in history.
Yeah.
You guys know this. He loved jazz and he loved the ambiance of clubs, and he loved, and he and Bobby Lewis eventually became, you know, Bobby Lewis, a famous trumpeter, were like golf buddies for a while.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so let's think about that. I can't wait till the studio reopens. I can't wait till a lot of things reopen.
Amen.
But you people should go to chicagosound.com and spend some time there. Spend some time and spend some money ordering CDs and reading some of what Sparrow's been writing on there. It's I guess called blog, or for lack of a better term, it's very moving. And you two are dear, wonderful people, and I am privileged to have you in my life. How's that?
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for having us.
And happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. That's right. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there and to all you children out there. Be nice to your fathers. Thanks, guys, for kicking off this first, the new era of After Hours. I want to thank Dan Long for bringing in a couple songs. He doesn't produce this show anymore. That's now Ben Anderson, who used to be the producer. What goes around comes around. Krista Flores, it is a pleasure to have you engineering this show. It's a new team. It's a new era. It's a new WGN. John Williams and his new show coming up next. Good night.